cfrc.ca. You never know what you're gonna get. CFRC's most varied variety show. You never know what you're gonna get. You never know what you're gonna get. CFRC's most varied variety show. Hosted by your friends Mike and Chance. No static. No static. CFRC 101.9 FM. CFRC.ca. CFRC.ca/no_static.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. A fitting choice for a film festival in hockey's birthplace, and at a moment when hockey culture itself is a heated topic. The Kingston Canadian Film Festival is bookended this year by two unique Canadian hockey stories. The festival opens with Youngblood, a powerful reimagining of the classic 80s drama, centering the experience of a young black hockey player navigating the road to the NHL, and closes with a special screening of the final episode of Heated Rivalry, followed by a panel discussion exploring its cultural impact. Festival director Mark Garnis sat down with CFRC to talk about how the festival came to be framed by hockey stories this year, and how despite appearances, it wasn't part of a grand thematic plan. I would say these are fitting choices for a film festival in Kingston, hockey's birthplace. I was wondering if you could speak to the choice to bookend the festival with two Canadian hockey stories.
Yeah, it was definitely not intentional. It was an organic thing. I don't even know if we've ever played a hockey... Yes, we actually played Hubert Davis's previous documentary that we played. I think it was in 2018. It was called Black Ice. So it was a documentary on black hockey players through the years, and it was quite good. So that's the only hockey film that I think we've played during my 12 years with the festival. And it's quintessentially Canadian, and I think if there was a great hockey film that we could play every year, we would. But I think the reality is a lot of sports films are not always great, and so I think the fact that we get to play Youngblood, which is one of the top Canadian films of the year, it's really well done. It's a remake of the classic, and we get to play opening night. It just feels like it almost feels a little tongue in cheek, but it's like it's a great quintessentially Canadian film. And And then, you were mentioning that it was bookended by another hockey program or show. We're playing Heated Rivalry. We're playing the final episode called The Cottage, which is obviously available for anybody that wants to see it online. You know, it's been playing for a while now. But we have some talent coming in that are going to talk about it afterwards. And so there'll be a discussion about the show and its impact that it's making. Like, I feel like it's, you know, I don't know if it's public information, but I think they're going to be on Saturday Night Live the same weekend as KCFF. It's huge. And so I think for us to embrace that and have some people at the festival who can speak to that show's success is, I think it's important for us to acknowledge the impact that this show is making on, because KCFF is more than just movies. You know, we have other TV series that we're highlighting at this festival and at previous ones as well. So it is more, you know, screen content. And then we actually have a third hockey film in there too, which was, it's about the London Knights. It's called Team of the Century. It's by Annie Stewart, who is, she might be around 20 now, give or take, but she was part of the first cohort of the 18 millimeter program that KCFF runs. So that's our year round youth filmmaking program. So it was only a couple years ago that she was just making a short film, and I think had not gone off to film school, but since then has gone off to film school and has actually now made a feature documentary that we're playing at a festival, and it's about the London Knights hockey team. So we have hockey spread out throughout the entire festival this year. So
interest in the hockey programming has been especially strong, particularly for Heated Rivalry. Demand was so high that the screening had to be moved to a larger theater after quickly selling out its original venue. I was wondering if you could speak to kind of where the idea came from and how it kind of came together, because I know it came out quite late at the end of last year, and then being able to get a producer from the show, I feel like that was probably pretty big.
Yeah, like it. I think anybody that has anything to do with the show right now is just in such high demand. So I think when we started talking about doing something with the show, so Crave is a supporter of the festival, so we do work with Crave. So I think we had that conversation or that idea going for a while, whether or not we might be able to do something with the show. And I don't know if we can actually get anyone from the show. So I think we aimed high, and we were like, oh, could we actually get the stars of the show when we first started thinking about it? And then, you know, as I just mentioned, I think they're doing things like Saturday Night Live now, so they're untouchable right now. But then it's even like, I think, made its way through. We're trying to get Jacob Tierney, who's you know, Canadian film director who we've worked with in the past, and I believe we've had him to the festival in the early years, but he's just super high demand, and I think they're all also getting ready to make the second season. So but we were fortunate enough to get a producer from the show, Lori Fishberg. So she'll be coming over, and she'll have, you know, she'll be able to answer any questions about kind of behind the scenes making of the show. I think, you know, people just have a general curiosity because it did come on so strong and has gotten so huge, you know. So she'll, I think, be able to answer a lot of those questions that people just have about the crazy trajectory that the show's on. And then we have Elamine Abdel-Mahmoud, who's comes to the festival every year. He does a lot of moderating for us, but he's actually going to be on the panel. And he's more just like a pop culture kind of enthusiast and very well spoken. And I personally noticed that his Instagram feed for the last 2 months has just been very Heated Rivalry based. So we have him on the panel, and Liz Duff, who's a podcaster. She's, you know, would be like a pop culture expert as well. And I think her podcast is called Late Night Scrolling, but very much about like Canadian film and TV, and very much about Heated Rivalry right now too. So yeah, I guess I'd like to say that we have like there's gonna be a group, and then we have a couple academics on the panel as well. So it's gonna be led by Liz Duff, who's gonna be the moderator, and it'll be just like an in conversation event after the screening for probably 20-30 minutes, and then we'll turn questions over to the audience. And I think we're keeping a few surprises up our sleeve too. So I think there's rumors that there might be some Heated Rivalry merch there and stuff like that. So yeah, it's one of those things when like the thing you're seeing on screen is very easily available. Because, you know, earlier in this conversation, I said like a lot of the majority of what you're seeing at KCFF, it's a very rare chance to see it sometimes in general, but definitely in a movie theater. But now I'm just telling everyone, obviously, if you don't already know this, Heated Rivalry is very available on Crave right now to watch, and most people I think have probably like binge watched it many times. But to see the interest in it is crazy. We started it at the Baby Grand, and it sold out in like an hour, and so now we've moved it up to the Regina Rosen Theater at the Grand, which is 775 seats, and we've half sold it out in a day. So it's, to me, it's kind of crazy how much interest there is in this show. So I guess that just speaks to its importance right now. And I think people's general curiosity in the show, and knowing, I think, that they can talk to some people that had a hand in the making of it is really cool to see that people are showing up in such large numbers for it.
All of this arrives at a complicated moment for the sport itself. KCFF's decision to showcase stories about players from marginalized communities offers both a commentary and a refreshing lens.
I guess I wish I could have said we curated this back in the summer when we were planning at the festival, but it has happened very organically. So I wish I had a better answer for that, where this is part of like some big plan. Our 2026 anniversary was going to be all about hockey and embracing like the moment. But, I think the nice thing about the films that we're showing, Heated Rivalry, Youngblood, is that like they're showing hockey through a different lens. And so I guess to be honest with you, when we first thought about the idea that hockey might be a theme at the festival, there were some like things happening that were not good, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you turn back the clocks to, I don't know if it's a full year from now, but like when the trials were happening with the Canadian junior team, and I think we knew Youngblood was coming out. We're like, oh, could hockey be a theme at the festival? We're like, this is not timely right now at all to be like celebrating hockey during these trials that are happening for like these awful, awful, awful things that have happened in Canadian junior hockey. So not to bring things down, but like that was a conversation mm-hmm. that we had. We're like, well, you know, I don't think we should go out of our way to be celebrating hockey this year. But then when we actually saw Youngblood and how powerful it was, and a story of a black hockey player, and you know, and then with the Heated Rivalry craze and showing two queer hockey players and their story as well, it's like, okay, this has come about organically and feels right for us to embrace. And then obviously within Kingston, who, you know, we're the home of hockey, and it felt, I think once we saw the full package of films that we could put on offer, and it felt appropriate to embrace it. But you know, it's hockey's. I think that's why it's important to be showing these films and the show that we are, is because it shows hockey through a different lens, which is you know, it's refreshing, because that's not always the story that we hear about hockey in the headlines.
Once again, that was Festival Director Mark Garness on this year's opening and closing films for KCFF 2026. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. This is your Queen's Campus Beat, your Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9 FM. I'm Henry. In student government news, Alma Mater Society, AMS, President Jaina Amer has officially stepped down from her role as the 156th AMS President, effective as of March 1st, 2026. Amer's resignation follows escalating scrutiny, including last night's special AMS assembly, over her use of the AMS credit card, which she acknowledged including personal expenses, notably purchases at the Dynamite Clothing store, Uber rides, and a Costco transaction, that were initially charged without clear documentation or reimbursement dates disclosed until recently. According to the AMS statement released publicly and published in the Queen's Journal, Amer wrote that the AMS deserves stability, focus, and the ability to move forward with clarity and cohesion. The controversy over credit card use and financial oversights has sparked student debates and calls for accountability. This led eventually to motions within the AMS Assembly earlier this week seeking impeachment before Amer's resignation was finalized last night. Students from across Ontario are mobilizing today in response to recent changes to the Ontario Student Assistance Program, OSAP, and a 2% tuition increase announced by the Ontario government. The Canadian Federation of Students Ontario, CFS-O, is organizing a rally scheduled for 12:30 p.m. today at Queen's Park in Toronto. Students will be joined by provincial legislators, members of the Ontario Public Service Employees Union, QPE 3902, the Canadian Nursing Students Association, and allied advocacy groups including Change Course and the Migrant Workers Alliance for Change. The rally is part of the CFSO's Hands Off Our Education campaign, which demands that the provincial government replace OSAP loans with non-repayable grants, remove all interest on OSAP loans, and halt future tuition increases and governmental interference in admissions, research security policies, and student fee structures. Organizers say debt and university affordability remain the most pressing barriers to post-secondary access in Ontario. On the academic front, the Black Studies program at Queen's remains a topic of institutional focus and concern. Founded to critically examine systems, geographies, and knowledges that shape Black life, the program is now 4 years old. Undergraduate Chair Dr. Jennifer S. Laith, an associate professor of Black Religion and co-chair of the BLCK Collective, has publicly addressed ongoing challenges around funding, staffing, and program autonomy. In an interview with The Journal, Laith noted that recent austerity measures across the university have led to cutbacks in staffing, funding reallocations, and increased minimum enrollment requirements that disproportionately impact smaller emerging disciplines like Black Studies. Laith emphasized that these pressures arise questions about Queen's commitment to inclusive excellence, accountability, and anti-Black racism dismantling. She described the program as one of the university's best-kept secrets, with a global diversity of faculty and mentorship strengths, yet vulnerable amid broader financial constraints. In additional news surrounding transparency and finance at Queen's University, the university is facing external scrutiny over administrative travel spending after Freedom of Information disclosures revealed that senior administrators collectively charged more than $46,000 in expenses on a 5-day trip to China last October. Documents show that Dean Bob Lemieux, Arts and Science, Dean Kevin DeLuzzo, Smith Engineering, and Vice Provost Anna Tierney were among 9 Queen's leaders who travel costs during the delegation mission included high-ticket flights, accommodations, and associated expenses. Critics have raised concerns about transparency and student fee accountability, noting that many administrative travel disclosures historically have been limited or delayed until public records requests are filed. In recent global news, based on reporting from the CBC, 16 Queen's students and 1 faculty member remain stranded in Doha, Qatar, after their return flight from a field course in Sri Lanka was diverted on February 28th due to sudden Middle East airspace closures. The group was forced back to Hamad International Airport and has since been staying in a hotel while awaiting the resumption of commercial flights. University officials have confirmed the students are safe and in regular contact with Queen's administration, as regional flight suspensions continue with no confirmed reopening date. I've been Henry Walker with your Queen's Campus Beat here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you for listening.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, March 4th, we are going to finally creep above 0, 1 degree feeling closer to 2 degrees in the sunshine, overnight low of just minus 2. Thursday, March 5th, daytime high of 3 degrees, but with the wind and rain in the forecast, it is going to feel quite a bit colder, around minus 7 or so. Friday, March 6th, we've got a possibility of rain / freezing rain in the forecast, daytime high of 2, overnight low of minus 5. And then moving into the weekend, the warmest weather for the year so far, Saturday, March 7th, daytime high of 6 degrees with a little bit of rain forecasted in the afternoon. Sunday, March 8th, 8 degrees with about a 70% chance of precipitation during the day. And then Monday, March 9th, this is not a typo, daytime high of 11 degrees, double digits at last, and it's going to feel like 11 degrees, cloudy but no wind chill, rain, snow, or precipitation in the forecast. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. And here's a quick note on overnight street parking in the City of Kingston. As of Sunday, March 1st, overnight street parking restrictions have been eased. Overnight street parking is now only banned on nights when the weather conditions require it. So keep an eye on the forecast if you plan on parking overnight downtown. In terms of road closures, Berry Street to Queen Street is closed indefinitely for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. On Tuesday, March 3rd, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., King Street East from Clarence to Johnson Street will be closed for construction-related activity at 285 Queen Street. And Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed indefinitely to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. That's a wrap for this week's Traffic Report. Until next time, drive safe, everyone.
If you won $1 million, what would you do with it? I would probably pay off my student loans, buy a fish tank, and donate the rest to SickKids. Hello, my loves. I missed you all. It's your girl Gigi, CFRC's newest intern, and you're listening to What's Live at 5 on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up on this segment, I've got K-Town's hottest concert and event calendars for the week, starting with events. Wednesday, March 4th is a busy one, so let's get straight into it. Women's nutritional needs evolve across the life stages. Understanding just how to properly nourish your body can play a powerful role in overall health and well-being. If you're looking to learn about nutrition, hormonal balance, and want to promote your digestive health, I encourage you to drop into Women's Wellness, a nutrition guide to optimal health, Thrive 65, an online informational session at 11 a.m. until 12 p.m. All right, stay with me on this one. Fusion energy is the process that powers the sun and the stars. It uses fuel that is virtually unlimited on this earth. Fusions is the ultimate energy source and the original source of all energy in the universe. Nothing comes after fusion energy. That said, scientists have been working on utilizing this power for the benefit of mankind, and we are now to the point that this technology is on the verge of commercialization. Interested in this topic? Learn more at Kay Memorial Lecture, Spencer Pitcher, at the Biosciences Complex at 6:30 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Board games at Something in the Water Brewing Company at 5 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. Did anyone end up trying Monopoly Go? I learned a new game recently, actually. It's called Codebreaker. I hadn't heard of it before, but it can get quite challenging at times. Would recommend. The Dance School series presents DSS Regal, guaranteed to make you laugh. Join the comedians at the Kingston Grand Theatre, Homestead Baby Grand Theatre, at 7 o'clock p.m. Their Wonderful Women Community Choir will be at the Crossroads United Church at 1 o'clock p.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. All ages are welcome. The Open Stage Drag Show welcomes all new and veteran drag performers at the Grad Club from 8 o'clock p.m. until 10:30 p.m. Thursday, March 5th is the Vogue Charity Fashion Show at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rose and Auditorium at 7 o'clock p.m. My friends will be there, I will be there, so why aren't you? Get your tickets before they're gone. Almost half the world's population live in great states, so why do they fail? Swing by the J.A. Corey Lecture, Why Great States Fail, with Dr. Alastair Roberts at the Robert Sutherland Hall, Room 202, at 2:30 p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. The Department of Philosophy Colloquium presents the Kennedy Memorial Lecture with Juliet Hooker in Dunning Hall, Room 10, at 4 o'clock p.m. until 6 o'clock p.m. Do you know what secrets lie hidden in the crackling waves of early wireless communication? Uncover the mysteries at Nautical Nights from Wire to Wireless at the Great Lakes Museum at 7 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Now for my favorite time of the week. Friday, March 6th, the Kingston Frontenacs face the Brampton Steelheads in Hockey for the Dogs night at Slush Puppy Place with puck drop at 7:05 p.m. Let them know, go Fronts, go. Strap up your cowboy boots for Friday night karaoke at The Buckle at 9 o'clock p.m. The Fellowship of the Improv presents the Lord of the Rings themed comedy adventure at The Loft at La Vida Bistro Bar and Social at 7 o'clock p.m. Looking for quick and cute scrapbook and card classes? Head to the Tech Creativity Center at 6 p.m. until 8:45 p.m. Hello, princess. Back by popular demand, get ready for Cringe Night Drag Show. The Cringe returns at the Grad Club at 7 o'clock p.m. This show is 19+. On Saturday, March 7th, QMed fights cancer. Hockey showdown at Slush Puppy Place at 4 o'clock p.m. Sweet Surrender will be happening at the Domino Theater, the Davies Foundation Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. And the International Women's Day Showcase will delve into the female experience in the music industry, exploring creativity, songwriting, and the challenges of navigating the industry. Drop in at the Broom Factory at 1 o'clock p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. On Sunday, March 8th, the Kingston Frontenacs are back on the ice, this time against the Oshawa Generals at Slush Puppy Place at 2:05 p.m. Swing by the Memorial Center Farmers Market at the Kingston Memorial Center grounds at 9 o'clock a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. for fresh foods and to show your support to local vendors. Sunday Funday family activities at the Great Lakes Museum. Drop by anytime between 10 a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. Planning a DIY show or community event in Kingston? Drop by Connecting Communities through DIY Event Planning Workshop, a free event with limited spots at 12 Cataraqui Street, Studio 1, from 7 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. And lastly, share your talent at the Youth Open Mic at the Broom Factory at 1 p.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Next up, our concerts calendar. On Wednesday, March 4th, don't miss DJ Great White at Hotel Wolf Island with anything from 60s, 70s, 80s, soft rock, soul, R&B, and new wave pop. If that's your vibe, join him at Hotel Wolf Island at 4 o'clock p.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. Wings and Tunes with Sean McCullough at the Cove Inn at 5 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. I recently tried lemon pepper wings and it was really good, in case you were looking for something to add to your list. Christopher Jackson will be performing at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. On Thursday, March 5th, listen to Donnie Cooper lighting up the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Over on the island, Clear Breeze will be performing at the Hotel Wolf Island at 6 p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. And don't miss acclaimed singer-songwriter Lily Hiatt at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. It's a packed lineup for the first weekend of March, so let's get right into it. Friday, March 6th, the music starts early with Happy Hour TGIF, featuring Not Guilty, Ali Pester, Ken Jameson. Find them at the club at RCHA at 4 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. Scott Owen takes over at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. In the meantime, Head Over Heels also hits the stage at the Cove Inn from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Isabel presents Jaden Isaac Dzurko, a Canadian pianist and winner of the 2024 Leeds International Piano Competition. Join him at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts for works by Bach, Franck, and Rachmaninoff at 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. And lastly, catch Three Pistols at my favorite Friday night spot, the Merchant Tap House, at 10:30 p.m. until 2 a.m. Saturday, March 7th marks the International Women's Day Showcase featuring Miss Emily, Luella, Clea, Way Brackenberry, Kyra, Atiari at the Broom Factory at 1:30 p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. Anyone know how to play the harmonica? Fun fact, I actually do. Don't miss 5 days in May as the Cove Inn celebrates the music of Blue Rodeo with Outskirts at 7 p.m. until 11 p.m. Emma McGrath will be performing at the Hotel Wolf Island at 8 p.m. until 10 o'clock p.m. And Tone Cats bring the late night energy to the Buckle at 9:30 p.m. until 1:30 a.m. Sunday, March 8th means Sunday Funday Chicken Pickin' at the Cove Inn at 1 o'clock p.m. until 4 o'clock p.m. What's your favorite Harry Potter movie? The Magical Music of Harry Potter will be live in concert at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium. Don't miss the magic at 12:30 p.m. Works by Beethoven and Brahms will be performed at the Isabel Bader Center for Performing Arts at 2:30 p.m. While you're at it, let me know if you want to hear my 12-year-old self playing for release. Candlelight concerts are in Kingston. This week's feature, Coldplay and Imagine Dragons by Listo Quartet at the Spire at 6:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Did anyone else go to the Coldplay concert this past summer? Surreal experience. I will never forget it. The Music of Hans Zimmer and Others, a celebration of film music at the Kingston Grand Theatre Rosen Auditorium at 8 o'clock p.m. I would definitely recommend this. Zimmer's music is absolutely phenomenal. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. No matter what you're into this week, music, food, dancing, or just pretending you have your life together, I've got you covered. For more details on all these events, check out cfrc.ca or lock in right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You're listening to Gigi on CFRC Radio, and from me to you, have the best week ever, be safe, be kind, and I'll catch you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Les Rendezvous de la Francophonie is underway. From now until March 31st, recharge your batteries Francophone style and enjoy shows, contests, local activities, and free film screenings. Check it all out on rbf.ca.
Rendezvous de la Francophonie is back for 2026. My name is Catherine Fisher, and I interviewed 8 Canadians for the Franco podcast. In this episode, I spoke with Franco-Ontarian singer-songwriter Mehdi Kayenne. Mehdi is one of 2 spokespeople for the Rendezvous de la Francophonie this year, and he will be crossing Canada on an RVF tour in March. Mehdi Kayenne was born in Algeria and grew up in Montreal, Moncton, and Ottawa, the city where he now lives. Mehdi and I spoke about his love of language, the importance of human connection, and his upcoming tour. Here's our conversation. Mehdi, what languages do you speak and how did you learn them?
I really speak English and French. I speak a bit of Arabic, but I really grew up speaking commonly French and English. And my parents are both Francophone, so in the house we would really speak more French with certain phrases in the Algerian Arabic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, ever since it turns out that, as my mother told me, the first language in which I made full sentences was actually in English. Because when I was mm-hmm. just a baby, I think we had a babysitter that was Anglophone. And then when we moved to Canada, very soon when I was at a daycare, it was at a Ganarly daycare in Montreal, and it was all Anglophone. And from being on the road and out into the world, and I guess from liking language a lot, some Italian and Spanish has seeped in, especially Italian, because I toured in Italy 2 or 3 times. So from having to learn that, really set it off. And also just that comes from my family as well. But, you know, I love language and the even when you're learning French and English, right, the correlations between the meanings of the same word in French and English and the differences and the nuances and stuff is the kind of stuff that gets my brain going. And so I find, that kind of pleasure with other Latin languages as well, of course, you know.
How has speaking more than one language enriched your life?
Well, I guess, language is a passport, right? None of us is fortunate enough to speak every language there is in the world. Any language and nuances within the language that one can sort of grasp and traffic in and sort of, you know, weave into their experience or navigate. I guess that speaks to a feeling of belonging, right? When I think of language, I feel I don't just think of French and English per se, but the sort of different people and places. And cultures that one will be in contact with within that sort of passport, right? With that sort of land it unlocks. And from there, you know, there's Charlemagne said that speaking another language is like having another soul, yeah. Which apparently is a quite known quote that I only heard recently. And I was like, yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I love that.
It speaks of a way of seeing the world, how we speak about it, you know, and within language, there is that sort of perspective, I feel. And I guess when you talk about it, one feels short of having really plunged deep enough to really take in all the richness that brings. So I guess all those sort of conclusions I'm having here are more the, haphazard musings as we're tumbling through.
But with French and English, like, do you find that you use those languages differently or think differently in those languages to some extent?
Absolutely. I feel I have really prime seats to that fact from writing, because it's just, right? To me, writing is a way of discovering my mind and find out what I'm thinking about, how I see the world, how I feel, right? And just having that distinction of distinct read in both languages is really striking in its difference, you know. Just the way, I don't know, the way my brain constructs sentences and the belonging is different as well, I guess, to a degree. For example, my English is sort of copy-pasted from Spider-Man. And you know what I'm saying? There are no born members of my family that natively speak English. We've all learned it. So it's a different sort of existence you know, I guess that speaks to sort of my sense of patchwork identity as a whole anyways, you know?
What are the languages that your parents speak, just out of curiosity?
Well, French and English and Arabic more so. My mother learned Portuguese. My father seems to know quite a bit of German. Yeah, that would be the gamut.
So, as you know, of course, the theme of this year's Rendezvous de la Francophonie is Activate Your Francophonie. How do you activate your Francophonie in everyday life?
Making friends and going out into the world, right? And asking questions. Yeah, that's the way it resonates to me, right? It's the same way that we were saying language is a passport. If you take your passport and then you go around the place, meet the people. See how people live, what do people think about, you know.
So connecting to people is a way that you activate it.
I would say so. I would say even that it's more than the method, that is the objective as well, right?
Yeah, of course.
right. It's that's where the miracle comes in. I feel it evokes to me also the tour that I'll be doing across Canada with that premise, right? Is because. There's just something special about showing up in a room where you know nobody and nobody knows you and looking in each other's eyes and saying, all right, here we go. This is what we're going to do here together now, you know, and sort of sending a song, as it were, across the space, you know, and sharing that. So to me, that speaks of that activation. And I guess that the imagery of that is sort of like it is kind of like a ball. You know, you come in the room with a ball and you pass the ball and you... hopefully get it sent back, you know, get a little game going. I feel it's similar with the energy in a room, right, with people, that sort of game you're playing. And I guess you're showing up saying, hey, you want to play with me? Kind of like a proposal. So in a larger existential sense, showing up and proposing to hang out is the why and the what of activating that Francophonie, you know.
On the topic of the tour, what can people expect?
Oh, well, you know, it's a really multi-pronged slew of activities that's going down with RVF, right? So there's going to be screenings from the NFB in collaboration with RVF. There's a comedy tour. I believe there's an escape room tour. So within all that, what I'll be doing is I'll be touring songs of my latest album and of the album I'm finishing now, and I'll which will be fun and very energetic. And at the same time, I'll also be offering workshops. So I've given, you know, hundreds of workshops for tens of thousands of youth in the past. And in this premise, what we're doing is it's all predicated upon the idea of the advice one would give themselves to their younger self. You know, so, you know, because I think that's the, in keeping with that idea of passing the ball, going in a room and not just speaking, but asking the students, as it were, to speak up and share their own advice, really speaks to, you know, that activation. But it's also because we're, as you know, because we were supposed to speak when I was doing the reading for the script for the TV show we're going to do. The RVF are also doing a TV show with TFO in regards to the sort of road trip that I'll be undertaking. And that element of asking oneself for advice, giving advice to one's younger self, is sort of central to the idea of that TV show. Phew, that was a really long way of explaining, like, it all ties together, Catherine.
I totally get it. March is the month of the Francophonie, so in your opinion, how can the Francophonie continue to grow and flourish?
Well, by growing and flourishing, right? And I think that, you know, the sort of main vector of that is simply that what constitutes Francophonie in Canada or on this land has always been wide and has just kept growing. And the more we get to meet each other, the more we see everybody's place in the larger picture, you know? So I think that speaks to Francophones from the wider diaspora, such as in Africa, which is a huge berceau, a huge factor in the thriving of the French language, you know? And in a larger sense, you know, like, be it students that are in French immersion or various contacts with indigenous peoples that may be collaborating with French or living in French to their own ways. I think those are all vectors for growth. And I'm highlighting those sort of relationships because, in my view, it's true that it's easy to have blind spots in struggles for so for example, in the French language struggle, you know, I think it's really useful to widen one's definition and sense of the landscape, you know, as far as not just what belonging in a Francophone culture means, but also how those Francophone cultures exist within a wider landscape, right? This makes me think, of course, of where I'm from in Algeria as well, right? The, you know, and various other similar ideas where it's the sort of subsistence of cultures and language and people, right? And that subsistence is a shared struggle, right? With all kinds of intersections of people's realities and existences and histories, you know? So I think the more that playing ground widens, the more there's an inevitable growth, you know?
Mm-hmm. So dialogue and...
Yeah, and
relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it bears repeating as well, because, I mean, it's no secret that we're in a wider context, in a rise of sort of, reactionary political ideals, you know, more of a sense of closing down the wall, so to speak, which is not even a metaphor, you know, and you know, I think that tremor that we all feel mostly, speaks to the importance of that, those connections being made even more so, you know, and being repeated as an objective, you know.
Thank you so much for this, and
thank you, my pleasure.
Seeing you in Nelson.
I can't wait to go to Nelson, BC. I've been to BC before. I remember how beautiful it is. I'm very thrilled. So it's great to meet you. Thank you very much.
And you as well. That was my conversation with Franco-Ontarian singer-songwriter Mehdi Kayen, who lives in Ottawa, Ontario. This has been the RVF Franco Podcast 2026. Thank you for tuning in. Rendezvous de la Francophonie is back for 2026. My name is Catherine Fisher, and I interviewed 8 Canadians for the Franco podcast. In this episode, I spoke with professional basketball player and 2-time Olympian Catherine Plouffe. Catherine grew up in Edmonton and still calls the city home. She is one of 2 spokespeople for the Rendezvous de la Francophonie this year. Catherine spoke to me about her French learning journey, what she loves about sport, and about having a heart set of curiosity. Here's our conversation. Catherine, what languages do you speak and how did you learn them?
I speak English by birth and how I was raised. I'm in an English-speaking environment for most of my life, all the time. And French came into my life because I was living in France playing professional basketball. And outside of our French class that we took in junior high school, I didn't really have much exposure to being in a French environment at all. I have an aunt and uncle who both are French speaking. Well, my uncle is from northern, maybe central northern Quebec. So when I was growing up and quite young, he was like my French uncle. So he was the one who spoke French. Most of the time, I didn't understand what he was saying because his accent was very strong. And but out of love, like I just loved him because he was a fun, jovial guy. And their daughter, so my cousin, who was around the same age as myself, and she was French speaking as well because they raised her bilingual. So I thought that was pretty cool. But other than that, didn't really get around French language consistently until I went to France. So I was playing overseas there for about 7 years and in different cities around France. But in my even in my first year there, I wanted to learn the language because I knew I might be there for a while. So I really tried to, you know, ask my club, like, can I get a tutor? Can I get a tutor? And so about halfway through the season, so about three or four months in, got a tutor, was trying to learn the basics, the vocabulary, basics of, you know, having conversation, and tried to learn my best since then. So it obviously got better. I was around a lot of English speaking people, even my teammates the first couple of years. So I had to be quite intentional to tell them, like, hey, speak French to me. Like, you need to learn this. As you know, it can be like, it's harder when you're just not around the language on a consistent basis and speaking it. You got to learn through the struggle. So that's how I learned French, and very grateful that I was around people who were encouraging me of that, and that I, you know, put the effort in, because it doesn't come through osmosis, that's for sure. So I'm not like fluent by any Francophone by birth means, but I'm very grateful I can speak the language now.
So your great-grandparents were French Canadian. What do you know of their stories?
Yes, not a whole lot. I do know, I was talking with my dad about this recently, and my mom, just about different languages in their family. And I believe my great-grandparents, when came to Alberta, I know that they didn't speak French with their kids, so they never taught their kids. They were more of like, okay, we're going to be part of the English culture now, which I'm like, okay, didn't get that passed on. But interesting to hear about. I don't know a lot about their story being here in Alberta. I think a lot of their family that I know from what my dad's told me, they were in Bonnyville and St. Paul area in Alberta. So there's actually quite a lot of Ploofs there from what I hear. I've met some second cousins, uncles and such who are from there. And sometimes I meet people who are Ploofs just in random passing, honestly. That's happened to me twice, where I just started a conversation with someone, they've ended up to be related to me. And I'm like, wow, that is fascinating. When I was living in France 1 year, I had met an older gentleman who was asking me where I'm from, like I'm not quite sure if I was speaking French in this conversation or not. I probably was, but anyways, had a conversation. He's like, oh, Ploof, that sounds like a French name. I'm like, yeah, it is. And prior to this year I was there, my grandma, who was a Selahub, but she married into the Ploof. So not my grandpa Ploof, but grandma. She was telling me that Ploof, prior to Ploofs living in France, were from Germany, and it could have been a Bloof that came to France and became Ploof. And I was like, well, that is super interesting. So I told this story to this gentleman because he was asking about the history of my name. I was like, you know what? My grandma said it could have been a Ploof before France Ploof. He's like, oh, okay. Didn't see this man for probably 4 months, maybe three months. Next time I ran into him, he pulled out a piece of paper from his pocket, and it was a Wikipedia page of Jean something Ploof. And it had kind of like I forget what it said about this man, but he would have gone to Quebec. And so there was a sub text in this bio too, that was like also common or also referred to as a Ploof from German. And I was like, oh my gosh. So he looked up my family tree.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
How has speaking more than one language enriched your life?
Oh, it is. I'm a person who I love connection. Like, I think that it's very fulfilling for me to meet people, to hear their stories, to get to know them as a human being. And yeah, one of the main reasons why I started to learn French was so I could connect with my teammates who didn't speak English. And they were the younger girls at the time, probably in high school age. And I just wanted to know them. So for me, it's just another open door to connection and to knowing people closer and deeper, which I really value. And that's very enriching when you get to connect with people and have a desire to. It's a tool at the end of the day, but it also allows you to know a little bit about their culture through language, obviously. So that's very enriching for me. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it also is probably opens different sort of options, like becoming the spokesperson for the Rendez-Vous de la
Definitely. I was going to
Francophonie
say,
as well.
yeah.
Clearly, you would not be if you didn't speak French.
Yes.
Yeah. So, as you know, the theme of this year's Rendez-Vous de la Francophonie is activate your Francophonie. How do you activate your Francophonie in your everyday life?
Well, a couple of things. I think the theme, which is cool, I'm a sports person, so action and activity is kind of what it's in my daily routine. And I think the theme in general is to activate like all parts of who we are, like activate what comes from within us, activate the things that are on our hearts, on our minds to live out. And those are our values at the end of the day, of what's important to us. And like, once again, for Les Rendez-Vous de la Francophonie, it's for, say for everyone. It's for everyone, and I think it's just an example of like sharing who you are. It's an opportunity for French people across Canada to share who they are with everyone, and for everyone to have an opportunity to either get to know people through events, through conversation, whatever it is, because connection is at the heart of unity. We can be diverse, but united. So, like, diverse in how we look, what we like, what we enjoy, but united in value of connection and, bridging a gap across different kind of thinking. We could be united in love. So activating that, going back to the theme, is I think just activating your values and a desire to connect with different people across Canada. And that's been really cool. It's obviously a play on words for me as a basketball person because I am active, but sport is such a great example of that. Like different culture events like music, theater, all these kinds of things. Like the action is and sport is very unifying because we're going after a common goal. So yet we're all these different people from different places who have like different personalities, all these kinds of things. We have a common goal to be our best and pursue excellence in our sport. And that's what I love about sport is that you meet people across so many different back, or I get to meet people across so many different backgrounds. And it's when we get on the court and get to play, there's such a respect for each other, for the sport, and for us bringing our best. And, the results are going to be the results, but competition at its heart is two people or two teams sharpening each other. So getting into the arena to be excellent, and you can't have your best without the opponent. And so there's a respect for each other there. But yeah, that's how I answer that. Sorry, I diverged from
No,
activation.
that's I love it. And yeah, it's great that you, as a professional athlete, that you will see a lot of the world. So it's such an opportunity.
Yeah.
March is the month of the Francophonie, of course. How can the Francophonie continue to grow and flourish?
I think this goes back to like an individual expression of people and who they are. So just being in like inviting people in through relationship, inviting people in through different events and conversations. I don't think that has to, we have to wait for whole organization or system or something in place for us to flourish and grow. I think we can always, I always encourage people to do it on an individual basis, and that's how everyone grows. So a rising rising tide raises all ships. I really love that quote, where when one person grows, it kind of lifts up everyone around them. And so, yeah, I think just being open to curiosity, because when people hear French language, you know, or any other different language, people are curious. I don't think they're as judgmental as we put people out to be. There's a curiosity when we hear something different or new, because we're like, what is that? Like when I first started to hear the Quebec French language, I was like, do not understand what they're saying, because I was learning more of the France French accent. But it was curious, because I was like, how does that even happen when it's the same language but different accents? Like, it was so curious, but it was curiosity. So I think like being open to people being curious and reframing our brain, like, okay, people can be curious. They're not judging us. And I think that's at the heart of it. That's how we help anything grow, is to take that heart set of, we can be curious about others. People can be curious about us. Let's just explore like each other, what each other's about, and build connections and relationships. I think that's at the heart of it.
Thank you. That's a lovely note to end on.
Well, lovely.
That was my conversation with professional basketball player and two-time Olympian Catherine Plouffe, who lives in Edmonton, Alberta. This has been the RVF Franco Podcast 2026. Thanks for tuning in.
Les rendez-vous de la francophonie are underway. From now until March 31st, recharge your batteries francophone style and enjoy shows, contests, local activities, and free film screenings. Check it out on rvf.ca.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new single by local artist Piner called Odelia, a powerful pop rock track rooted in folk storytelling that confronts gender inequality, inherited expectations, and the radical act of self-trust. The new single arrives at a moment when conversations around women and 2SLGBTQ+ rights, autonomy, and power feel both urgent and necessary. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Odelia by Piner on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.